Good evening, everyone, and hello. You're listening to Revision Media at revisionmedia.org. Today is Wednesday, 11/11/2020. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Arcane Semantics. Well, where to begin indeed. When we last spoke, it was rather undecided, but I had a pretty good idea where things were being directed in these key battleground states. I certainly see the significance of this selection. Many try to say, oh, Democrat, Republican, they're all the same. They're all controlled by the same forces. It doesn't matter who you have in there. Policies will hardly vary. I really do see Trump as a threat to the time schedule for this totalitarian system, this rolling in of control from an international point of origin, COVID-19 being the perfect scapegoat to usher in this Agenda 21, this new world order, this great reset unto a fourth industrial revolution, which renders the lifestyle, the living conditions, and living standards of those of the first world, of Europe, and those of the United States, down to that of the third world. Limiting property rights, freedom of speech, freedom of association, limiting travel, restricted movement, restricted travel, limited if not extinguished vacationing in the future if you're not among the elites with enough money to get past all of these factors. Of course, we have many people unaware of this ultimate agenda. But yes, and your freedom of speech in the U.S. tied to the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, well, you can throw that out the window as well with the ultimate plans of the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I mean, you can't be brought down to the Third World and still have the right to bear arms. A dependent society through countless onslaught of tragic living conditions due to this system and these ridiculous justifications, attempts at initiating all of this, which unfortunately to the great masses of lemmings seems to be taken at face value, this alleged pandemic. Even if doctors and scientists are being censored left and right, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And so we have this outsider, Trump. And you don't have to love his personality. I think he's fine for what is needed at the moment. Although, of course, we could always say aye. He could have done this here or that there. There's only so much a president in the current standing of that level of power and influence can accomplish in one term. And as far as pushing back against these lockdowns, against forced vaccinations, at least being a precedent, a symbol, an influence, an inspiration upon both the local level, as far as the governors and their overreach we've had thus far with the lockdowns, as well as overseas to Europe, which could spread. We certainly need the U.S. to be the template for freedom in all of these ways. Certainly pushing back against these lockdowns and any mandatory vaccinations or ostracization from society for being a Trump supporter or for not getting their COVID tests or vaccines. We have so much data pointing out how the tests are inaccurate and not designed to detect anything in the category of viruses. We also know the truth about what actually constitutes a case when they try to say how many cases have been building. And as far as the actual danger involved with all of this. And of course, the vaccines, the amount of damage, danger, death toll, and irreparable damage to those who would survive, but with harmful permanent effects, is going to be massive. And yet we may face ostracization from society and a lot of dealings in it if we stand strong against all of these things. We have to welcome that. We have to build local network alternatives, support one another, regardless of our political or scientific views. We have the right to make our own decisions, and we need communities which allow for such. If that isn't already going on in your local community, you need to be the one to start it. Of course, the larger the municipality, the more challenging when you get to a mega city. Well, you might want to relocate before you start such. That's how much they are infected with the New World Order. Of course, that's the plan. Move everyone into mega cities. Rather difficult to start there. If we wound up taking everything other than the mega cities, I'd say that's a good start. Taking everything back to the people, for the people, maintained, legislated by the people. All of them keeping each other aware on all of these issues, all of the information suppressed by the powers who wish to keep us in the dark, maintain their power. There are so many people profiting off these lockdowns already. All that being said, I believe Trump would and can be a major force against all of this. We'll have to resort to other measures without, and even with him in the presidency, to back this up. So I'd say the burden lies largely on us, regardless, in terms of this Agenda 21, this New World Order. But certainly this election is going to decide the fate of the United States, whether we're a rule of law of the republic or mob rule, which is really whatever gets the most money thrown at it and enough propaganda. A lot of forces are often involved. We have a lot of proxy armies involved in a lot of this social engineering. But, of course, there are a lot of tribal forces as well. We always try to touch on that element, acknowledging it's there. So where to start in trying to catch up, cover some of what we have before us as far as the attempt to maintain election integrity? I'd say that's the most pressing matter at this moment. Well, let's start with some of Trump's tweets here. Might be a good place to start. He's been censored so much recently, and this past week in particular. Of course, so many of his tweets have posts by them that, you know, this cannot be confirmed and such. It's amazing how biased big tech and social media giants are against Trump. Really on an unprecedented scale. Some of these are pretty interesting, telling. Trump says in a tweet, "Tens of thousands of votes were illegally received after 8 p.m. on Tuesday, Election Day. Totally and easily changing the results in Pennsylvania and certain other razor-thin states. As a separate matter, hundreds of thousands of votes were illegally not allowed to be observed." Another one here. "This would also change the election results in numerous states, including Pennsylvania, which everyone thought was easily won on election night, only to see a massive lead disappear without anyone being allowed to observe for long intervals of time." Another one. "Bad things took place during these hours where legal transparency was viciously and crudely not allowed. Tractors blocked doors and windows were covered with thick cardboard so that observers could not see into the count rooms. Bad things happened inside. Big changes took place." I saw some of the videos of the big white square rectangular cardboard being placed in some of the windows of some of those locations. People doing videos on their smartphones, I take it, and posting such. It's amazing how much fraud is being reported by people, as well as the pressure we're seeing put on a lot of these individuals. It's really off the charts. I have some more of Trump's tweets here as well. 71 million legal votes. The most ever for a sitting president. Another Trump tweet. "The observers were not allowed into the counting rooms. I won the election. The observers were not allowed into the counting rooms. I won the election. Got 71 million legal votes. Bad things happened, which our observers were not allowed to see. Never happened before. Millions of mail-in ballots were sent to people who never asked for them. I won this election. By a lot." So those are some of the Trump tweets pointing out the situation as he sees it. And we're getting a lot of information in from a number of states. There was one in particular that covered a lot of topics in the same article. This is huge. "Donald Trump may win the state of Georgia after 132,000 ballots may be ineligible. Over 600,000 mail-in Nevada with no voter roll signature or envelope signature. Michigan counted 149,772 votes in 5 seconds. And less than 600 less than 6,000, rather, of them were for Trump. I think that just shows, you know, an example of how these are statistical improbabilities you just wouldn't be likely to see. And they're using the term glitches when they're referring to a lot of ballots in the electronic counting machines getting switched from Trump to Biden. Ooh, a glitch. Yeah, that couldn't have been in the programming at all. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. Of course, it would have to be in the programming or someone adding code later, receiving the machine. So there could be 2 points where it could be inserted in such cases, just to be clear. Proof of fraud. Republicans won 28 of 29 most competitive House seats, added 3 state legislators, did not lose a single House race. But we're to believe Joe Biden won? How is that possible? Well, again, statistical improbability. There were, on a similar note, there were a lot of ballots filled out for just Biden. Nothing else. Nothing else filled out on them. In huge numbers in certain areas, very telling that these were fabricated ballots. Trump campaign taking numerous legal action, new legal action in the election battle. There's another report. It seems that we are getting reporting on this from a number of sources, but so many of the largest among the corporate media, of course, are using the term baseless every time they mention this. Baseless allegations of voter fraud. Baseless, when it's not at all baseless. There's plenty of basis for it. There's plenty of evidence and precedent for this to move forward. We have 6 states here, and this is more than enough for Trump to actually win as far as the electoral votes rather than Biden. Trump campaign has set up a hotline and website for reporting voting irregularities, as officials express confidence in eventual re-election. Now that would be nice, to have an actual re-election. That's what I'm the most in favor for. I was just thinking of this, really. I mean, of course, if I had my way completely, I would say, sure, redo the presidential election altogether, but I'd say in person and make them all paper ballots, you know, hand counting all of this, you know. And of course, I mean, you need all of the proper witnesses that would normally be required, bipartisan, well, those on both Republican and Democrat represented. It's amazing. They used COVID in so many cases to try to keep people like 20 or 30 feet away. So they can technically, therefore, argue, oh, yeah, there were witnesses, but nothing anywhere near close enough to see that the ballots are being checked, that signatures are being checked, that there's no cases of potential fraud apparent in what is observed of the ballots themselves. But we've had, I mean, I have some photos of screens myself. This one gentleman, before getting kicked out of a polling station, he took a photo of a screen where this is supposed to be people all in a row, you know, the order that their ballots were processed. And of course, none of them look legitimate, because when you look at their birth dates, every birth date was January 1st, 1900. Okay, so these would have to, a bunch of people who are all born January 1st, 1900, 120 years old, all decided to get together that day. They're just all have been friends their whole life because they have that same birthday, I guess, and decided to go vote that day all in a row for Biden, I'm supposed to believe. Yeah, it could happen. Statistical improbabilities, once again. And on that note, Biden's vote tally apparently violates Benford's law. Now, Benford's law, also known as Newcomb-Benford law, the law of anomalous numbers, or the first digit law, is an observation about the frequency distribution of leading digits in many real-life sets of numerical data. The law states that in many naturally occurring collections of numbers, the leading digit is likely to be small. One. For example, in sets that obey the law, the number one appears as the leading significant digit about 30% of the time, while 9 appears as the leading significant digit less than 5% of the time. If the digits were distributed uniformly, they would each occur about 11.1% of the time. Benford's law also makes predictions about the distribution of second digits, third digits, digit combinations, and so on. So in large data sets, of course, a number with a 1 at the front of it would happen more frequently than that with a 3 at the front of it. The 3, not as often, but still far more than, say, with a 9 in front of it. It's just a curve. When you put enough data into a graph form, that you'll see. When you look at all these elections, for example, everyone else, all the other candidates, it follows that curve of Benford's law with the frequency of something that's in the 100,000s range or in the 200,000s range, the 300,000s range, 900,000s range, and so forth. And same with just each digit place. And so we look at all of the others. We look at Trump. We look at third-party candidates. We look at going down the ballot, all of the other races, candidates, everything conforms to Benford's law. Of course, locations which studied Biden compared to all these others showed him, and I have some of these charts right in front of me. He's the only one who actually violates considerably Benford's law. More evidence, statistical improbabilities, where it's just so unlikely as far as probability is concerned. It you might as well say it just couldn't happen, because that basically is the case. No matter what parallel universe you may be in. Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, and Allegheny counties will go red. Benford's law proves unilateral fraud beyond a reasonable doubt. Those are pretty bold declarations. I'm looking, so we have a recount that's to be underway in Wisconsin and Georgia. As of last updates of today, we have lawsuits for Michigan, for Pennsylvania, for Arizona. And Nevada is still in question as well, incomplete or contested results. Okay, so again, recount for Wisconsin and Georgia. Lawsuits for Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona. And just like those other five, a sixth state being Nevada, incomplete or contested results in all six. And if you take away those six states and all of their electoral votes from either candidate, and you look at the rest of the states of the nation, right now we have Trump ahead. at 232 electoral votes compared to Biden's 227 electoral votes. I'm convinced that all six of those states would be in Trump's favor. You can do the rest of the calculations, folks. It means a landslide for Trump. And that's what we would have if this were a fair election from the start. Huge amounts of dead people voting. A lot of people, women, had their ballot cast as well under their maiden name. Or in place of. I may have to double check which that is. One interesting case had a woman and her daughter. One voted for Trump, the other for Biden. This was a black mother and daughter, not that it's relevant. But they checked in the computer system afterward to see, you know, that their vote did count. Okay, the one who voted for Biden, their vote showed up. The one who voted for Trump, vote didn't show up. Nothing to see here, folks. Move right along. Facebook and Twitter suspend accounts that posted on Benford's Law, showing Biden's implausible vote totals. We're seeing in some of these reports, anyone who retweeted on Benford's Law. And I don't know how, in some cases, they were saying it was exploitation. I don't know. The one report says sexual exploitation. I really don't see how they get that, and I'm not really even. Facebook, Twitter, go figure. Nevada reports over 3,000 individual accounts of mail-in ballot fraud. So, again, folks, even though Nevada doesn't currently have recount or lawsuit underway, I think it deserves one, very clearly. I mean, 3,000 individual accounts of mail-in ballot fraud, that means there's a lot more you aren't able to account for yet, I'd say, which is very likely out there, far more likely than not, you know, that you did not catch all of the fraud, all of the criminal invalid ballots. Ask any crime investigator. He'll tell you. This is going to be the case. Fraud. Thousands of illegal votes identified by Trump campaign in Nevada as Biden win begins to collapse. We're hearing titles to articles all over like this. So again, Nevada as well. Another on Nevada. Thousands referred to DOJ for election law violations after as many as 9,000 illegal votes identified in Nevada. Georgia. Huge breaking news in Georgia. I mentioned this earlier. 132,000 ballots in Fulton County, Georgia have been identified, which are likely ineligible. The Georgia Secretary of State dispatches investigators after issue found with Fulton County ballots. An issue was found. I see. There are facts of fraud. Rudy Giuliani is even out there. He's saying Trump team to file lawsuits against on Pennsylvania. This is supposed to be underway. It was supposed to have been beginning this Monday. For violating federal law, 800,000 votes completely invalid. And they have videos there covering that as well. Trump will ultimately win Pennsylvania. We hear a lot of interesting insight of that. Of course, Democrats are chomping at the bit to crown Joe Biden, also known as Kamala Harris, by the time Inauguration Day rolls around. as the 46th president of the United States. The chances of this actually happening, however, will greatly decrease once the Supreme Court issues a ruling in the case of Republican Party of Pennsylvania versus Bukvar. Though the mainstream media would have us believe Biden has already won Pennsylvania now. Now that almost all of the votes have been counted, yet the truth is the Pennsylvania Supreme Court violated both Pennsylvania state law and the U.S. Constitution by changing the voting rules during the 11th hour to favor Democrats. The Trump campaign knew this was going to happen, which is why it filed a lawsuit on October 28, just a few days before Election Day, asking the Supreme Court to intervene, and quickly. The highest court denied a motion to expedite the case. However, it did not deny the case itself, which is an important distinction. At issue is the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's illicit decision to allow ballots received after 8 p.m. on Election Day to still be counted. Even though Pennsylvania state law clearly prohibits this. And since a lower court refused to address the matter, the Trump campaign escalated it straight to the top. As to be expected, the left is framing the issue as one of Trump's trying to stop Pennsylvania from counting votes. In reality, however, no votes received past 8 p.m. on Election Day are legally allowed to be counted, which is what the Democrats are doing. Okay, Pennsylvania, a few days after the election, what was it, like Friday or Saturday morning? Maybe it was Friday before they... And why is this Associated Press considered the law of the land or something? I mean, you go to YouTube and everything related to the election or contesting the election, all these videos, it keeps referring to Associated Press. AP says Biden won the election. Well, if AP says it, oh, okay. I don't know. It's very amazing how much the corporate media and big tech, social media, think that the rule of law doesn't even need to apply anymore as long as they can convince all of their followers, the majority of their followers, one way or the other. So, many are convinced Trump will maintain Pennsylvania. And I mean, just in time for the Chinese flu, the legislator of Pennsylvania wrote into law a special bill known as 2019 PA, Legislative Service Act. I guess that stands for 2019-77. That creates new rules for mail-in voting. It states unequivocally that no absentee ballot under this subsection shall be counted which is received in the office of the County Board of Elections later than 8 o'clock p.m. on the day of the primary election. Again, the special bill 2019PA.LEG.SCRV.Act 2019-77. And so, this unambiguous language, to quote Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, was essentially invalidated by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which overstepped its bounds and decided to allow ballots collected days after the election to still be counted, even though they were not properly postmarked or signed. Of course, we have a lot of witnesses to backdating postmarks as well. Pennsylvania, the main culprit I noticed, with people, whistleblowers coming out and with video footage. Everyone has their smartphone camera these days, you know. That's great. That's what we need, you know, citizen journalism. Any of you out there who engage in such want platforms to share it, contact me. Feel free to email me. And certainly, I mean, I have a lot of, you know, we have a lot of shows around here. I'm affiliated with a lot of people here that definitely would be interested. And so, moving right along, back to Nevada. Trump campaign witness saw Biden-Harris van stop at Las Vegas, Nevada Center and unload and fill in boxes of ballots. I have a video on that. Another article. We've identified 450,000 ballots that miraculously only have a vote for Joe Biden. Now, this was Sidney Powell dropping that bombshell news on a Sunday Morning Futures in a video. And again, I mentioned that a lot of ballots with only Joe Biden, nothing else filled out. 450,000 ballots in a lump with just Joe Biden. And that's not supposed to look like fraudulent ballots at all. Heritage Foundation election expert says 120,000 vote dump for Biden is not possible. Here's a quote. This felt like a drug deal. Asian American ballot observer in Detroit describes mysterious van dropping off 61 ballots, boxes of ballots at 4 a.m. So, yeah, Michigan at 4 a.m. That sounds about right for election night. And what we saw happen in Michigan, that was exactly the time. Self-described Democratic Party worker. Detroit resident, brags on Facebook, I work for Wayne County, Michigan, and I threw out every Trump ballot I saw. Tens of thousands of them. And so did all my coworkers. Yeah, we have some... a lot of screenshots of posts from some of these people, including Facebook as well. Time to come clean, says Kyle Foxton. Time to come clean. I work for Wayne County, Michigan. I threw out every Trump ballot I saw, tens of thousands of them, and so did all my coworkers. I regret something. They didn't let us see the rest of it there. Fascinating. Fascinating. Just how much is coming out, really? Nevada whistleblower, back to Nevada again, says he was told to process ballots without signature verification. We're hearing that from a lot of locations, a lot of states as well. COVID, you know, keeping them like 20 and 30 feet away, in a lot of the cases, to avoid them being caught, not processing, signature verification included. Volunteer repeatedly busted handling ballots unsupervised in Philadelphia cafeteria, no less. I mean, this is just blatantly out there, in your face. Exclusive. Detroit ballot counters were counting Xerox copies as actual military votes in a video. Voting machines changed votes from Trump to Biden. We went over that earlier. Project Veritas. In the last 48 hours, three USPS whistleblowers have potentially changed history. That article is going on to state. Administrative changes in Wisconsin election put tens of thousands of votes in question. It's amazing how much is coming out here. There's lots of shenanigans. Lindsey Graham urges Trump, Republicans as well, not to concede to Biden. Another article, censoring Donald Trump is more dangerous to democracy than anything he could ever say. And this is in response, of course, to all of the massive censoring on Twitter and deleting of tweets. A lot of the corporate media not airing his speeches lately or cutting him short when he gets to topics they don't like, just like we're seeing done to everyone, even on Fox. Tucker Carlson was even complaining about his own network, Fox, doing that to others. You can't just cut someone off when you don't like what they have to say. But to the president, no less, as well, the commander-in-chief. And he's still the acting president until, what is it, January 20th? Yeah, January 20th. So, it's just fascinating. And yes, it is a much larger danger to democracy to the current president get censored like this than any. I mean, I don't even care what agenda they're towing the line about. It's amazing. Late on Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, emerged from the White House to make a speech. The media have called the election for Biden, but the counting goes on. There's a legal case in the offing. Whomever emerges from this deluge of sludge, fraud, and propaganda to become president of the United States, there has undoubtedly already been one big loser: freedom of speech. He accused the Democratic Party, the political establishment, the media, and tech giants, social media companies of working together to steal the election and put Biden in the White House. You likely didn't see a lot of it, all of it, because most of the corporate media channels simply refused to broadcast it. Earlier that night, MSNBC had cut away from Trump's first speech claiming victory, with anchor Brian Williams claiming it was, quote-unquote, not rooted in reality, and, quote-unquote, dangerous. Social media companies were doing the same thing. Within hours of it being set up, Facebook deleted a group protesting the election results, while Twitter reduced the president's time of his speech to, here's what we had. This is a terrible, terrifying, awful precedent to set. This isn't about defending Donald Trump or even agreeing that the election was rigged. Although there's plenty of evidence to suspect as much, this is about a principle. Donald Trump is the elected head of state, and he is being denied a platform to address the people he represents by the faceless servants of corporate media oligarchs. The owners of Comcast or Warner Brothers or Disney or Facebook or Twitter are not elected officials. They have no legal authority and thus no accountability. Yet they are claiming the right to determine what elected officials can and cannot say to the people who elected them. There is a strain of thought that this kind of censorship is justified. Spreading disinformation puts lives at risk, they say. If the media stopped people lying, we wouldn't be in this mess. Or the news should only broadcast the truth. And the truth according to what? These tech giants or corporate media giants' interpretation of the Orwellian truth? I might add. Back to the article. The argument goes that allowing Donald Trump to publicly undermine our democratic institutions will erode the public trust and could lead to violence. But I would argue that empowering billionaires to hold a monopoly on, quote-unquote, the truth is far more dangerous to democracy than anything Trump could ever say. To people inclined to disagree, I leave these five questions. Answer them if you can. Who made the decision to censor the elected president of the United States? Who granted them this power? Whose interests do they serve? To whom are they accountable? In the future, who gets to decide, quote unquote, the truth? So what is at stake? It's so much more than just an election. Regarding censorship, regarding election integrity, and these lockdowns, as I've mentioned. Some are out there saying, good news, Trump will win in the end. Bad news, A fractured nation is certain. We certainly see the polarization, but for good reason. I think many of you out there, long-time listeners, will understand my sentiments on a lot of these other topics. Sometimes the focus needs to shift. You know, you might not cover every topic equally on every broadcast or every month. That's part of the strategy employed. Okay, like many in the past who may no longer be with us, Dr. William Luther Pierce or Milton William Cooper. The fight for the soul of our republic has begun. That's how another article starts here. Another one, the non-stop effort to take down Trump and America. Now, we had this Sean Davis on Twitter. He had some interesting things to point out. In a new sworn affidavit, a whistleblower with the Clark County Elections Department in Nevada claims Nevada poll workers fabricated proof of residence data for illegal voters. So far, Nevada Attorney General Aaron D. Ford has taken no action to investigate credible fraud claims. Seems like an overwhelming amount of evidence in all of these six states. Probably would be in more states for that matter. We have a thread from David Schaefer. And this was a thread, a reader app. Not familiar. Let me repeat, Fulton County elections officials told the media and our observers that they were shutting down the tabulation center at State Farm Arena at 10:30 p.m. on election night, only to continue counting ballots in secret until 1 a.m. No one disputes that Fulton County elections falsely announced that the counting of ballots would not stop at 10:30. Would stop at 10:30. No one disputes that Fulton County elected officials unlawfully resumed the counting of ballots after our observers left the center. They're gaslighting you when they report that there is no evidence of irregularity in the system. I'll add they're gaslighting you every time they use the term baseless in front of a reference to Trump's election fraud cases, allegations, lawsuits, whatever you want to refer to. Smoking gun, election, electronic fraud, caught live on CNN. This was when they were referring to the hammer, hashtag the hammer and hashtag scorecard. If you want to look those up more elsewhere for links, but that's pretty interesting to check out as well over on BitChute. Trump fires Pentagon Secretary Mark Esper by tweet, who lashes back that he wasn't a yes man. President hands role to Chris Miller and says he'll do a great job. Elizabeth Harrington on Twitter, evidence Detroit poll watcher at 4:30 a.m. on November 4th, tens of thousands of ballots delivered from out of state, unlike the other ballots. Let's see, they mentioned, unlike the other ballots, these boxes were brought in from the rear of the room. I specifically noticed every ballot I observed was cast for Joe Biden. Tom Fitton on Twitter. Verified campaign lawsuit allegates 682,479 mail-in and absentee ballots received and processed without review by parties or candidates in Pennsylvania. Ken Starr, Pennsylvania ballot extension, a constitutional travesty. August Takala on Twitter. Tucker takes aim at Neil Cavuto for cutting away from the Trump campaign's press conference today. I mentioned that one earlier as well. Tucker says, you can't just cut away from footage you don't like. Force doesn't work in a democracy. That's a dictatorship. Telling voters to shut up is never enough. Of course, Tucker needs to be told we have a republic, not a democracy. Other than that, good point. Another glitch. Trump loses 32,615 votes in Pennsylvania in 1 hour in AP totals. Oh, Associated Press totals. Come on. Another glitch, they call it. Again, I mentioned my attitude, my theory on the two ways, both intentional with all these computer systems, you're going to get this sort of flipping. I mean, from Biden to, or Trump to Biden, rather. But in this case, the glitch was, actually them disappearing. I recall more info on this one as well. And the proof they had to back it up. Yeah, they disappeared in that case. Suddenly, 32,615 votes in 1 hour. Suddenly, boom. Gone. So you counted it, so it was there. How do you explain for it after that not being there? Fascinating. Nevada whistleblower. Workers instructed to process illegitimate ballots. Georgians are outraged. Georgia GOP senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, call for Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger to resign. Dominion voting machines are at the center of material data manipulation concerns. One article, I'd say everything I've said tonight is important, but yes, the Dominion machines, which have been used for a long time, that means that all of them, and are used in a large amount of states, need to be looked at. All of them need to be looked at. Those are the one where some congresswoman's husband owned like 61% or something of stock in the company. I think that might be the one. I don't want to say the wrong person either. Or was it possibly Nancy Pelosi's husband? But again, don't quote me on that. Someone. Fox News cuts away as press secretary goes on explosive rant about election results. Biden plans to enact no fewer than 4 executive orders on Inauguration Day, undoing President Trump's efforts. March for Trump in Washington, D.C., Saturday, November 14th, folks. Freedom Plaza at noon. Hashtag Stop the Steal. They're going to call it Stop the Steal, this March for Trump in Washington, D.C. Again, Saturday, November 14th. Try to be there. I know Gregory McGill, host of Falling Dominoes on Revision Media, plans to be there. And he hopes to see you all there. Again, Sidney Powell identified, we've identified 450,000 ballots that miraculously only had a vote for Joe Biden. And I mentioned that case in Michigan at 4 a.m. And a lot of times, while everyone was sleeping, everyone went home. Democrats in Michigan magically found a trove of 138,339 votes. And all 138,339 of those quote-unquote votes magically went to Biden. That doesn't look suspicious at all. And again, yeah, Trump had the same amount, 2,200,902 in both cases. Joe Biden going up from 1,992,356 to 2,130,695. Nothing to see here, folks. Move right along. Poll watchers in Wayne County filed lawsuit alleging Detroit officers knowingly committed massive voter fraud. System glitches favoring Democrats are becoming an epidemic across the swing states. Trump campaign files lawsuit in Pennsylvania, alleging creation and implementation of a legal two-tiered voting system for elections. Republicans begin filing FCC complaints about networks who are falsely claiming Joe Biden is the president-elect, and so they should. Oregon elections director fired after he details the problems. This Fox host Neil Cavuto interrupting Trump campaign presser and refusing to show it, citing false information. This is just off the charts, folks. We have Ohio and Missouri suing Pennsylvania over the election. Well, so much, folks. Defendants instructed election workers to not verify signatures on absentee ballots, to backdate absentee ballots, and to process such ballots regardless of their validity. We have a Michigan lawsuit regarding that. Mike Pompeo is saying there will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. But the clock is ticking. You know, they're saying they have less than a month, that everything has to be decided by December 8th, when the electors will formally cast their votes. So it's quite a tight time scale. We'll see how it all works out. AOC, a lot of these leftists led by that wench are out there trying to compile lists of Trump supporters to ostracize them from society, getting jobs, or being able to do much anything in future if they have a Biden communist regime. I'll gladly be on that list. Bring it on, AOC. But I'm not expecting quite yet that we can't prevail, maintain the republic. Ballots taken from mailboxes in Arizona, found by a farm worker. They want to make a Truth and Reconciliation Commission for those who had supported Trump, South Africa style. Well, folks, it's time for us to go on the offensive, start pushing back. At the local level, and again, this is an undeniable mathematical improbability as well as all of this fraud. I'll keep you updated. Thanks for listening. And until next time, transcend the construct. Regards.